Well, on February 15th, 1921, medical history was made at Kane Summit Hospital in New York City. Because it was there at Kane Summit Hospital where Dr. Evan O'Neill Kane performed a routine appendectomy in a totally new and novel way. Now, what made the surgery different? Well, instead of using general anesthesia to put his patient under, Dr. Kane used a local anesthetic. You see, for years, Dr. Kane had been a critic of general anesthesia. He thought that for most patients, a local anesthetic was a far safer option. And he would know. Dr. Kane had been a surgeon for 37 years. He had performed 4,000 appendectomies. He knew he was right about this issue, but how do you get other people to agree? Most of his colleagues were unwilling to try anything different for fear that it might not work. What Dr. Kane needed was a volunteer. He needed someone willing to put his theory to the test. And on Tuesday morning, February 15th, he got just that. He got his volunteer. Now, who volunteered for this experimental procedure? Well, it was none other than Dr. Kane himself. You see, on that Tuesday morning, Dr. Kane applied his own local anesthetic. He cut into his own abdomen. He removed his own appendix. Dr. Kane became one of the first people ever to perform surgery on himself. He was a doctor who one day decided to become the patient. Now, isn't that a crazy story? But what do you even begin to do with a story like that? You know, Jesus once said that he was the great physician, that his was a ministry of healing to other people. And it's true, most of Jesus' ministry was spent restoring others. He performed 40 miracles. Almost all of them brought new life to someone else. Jesus was the great physician. But he also knew what it meant to suffer. And Jesus also knew what it meant to face the hardships of this life. He was the doctor that became the patient. He is a wounded healer. You know, today we're beginning a new sermon series we're calling A Day in the Life. It's a sermon series where we are going to look at one of the most memorable days of Jesus' life. And we're going to follow it from sun up to sundown, 24 hours that changed the world. Now, the day that we are following is a day when Jesus performed some of his most famous miracles. The day we're looking at is the day when he fed the 5,000. The day when he walks on water. The day when thousands of people surround him begging for his attention. In fact, one theologian said this was Jesus' second most stressful day of his life, behind only Good Friday. This was the day when Jesus experienced not only the highest of highs, he experienced the lowest of lows. Just look again at our scripture passage this morning. Look at how Matthew tells us Jesus began this day. The very first thing Jesus experienced when he woke up that morning was rejection. The people in Jesus' hometown in Nazareth were unwilling to accept his ministry. The people who knew him the best wanted him the least. He was unable to perform any miracles. After that, what was the next thing that happened to him in his day? Well, Jesus learned about the death of his first cousin, John the Baptist. His partner in ministry, his friend, had been killed at the hands of King Herod. Was how he began his day with rejection and grief and sadness and fear. Just don't let anyone tell you different. Jesus, he knew exactly what it meant to be human. The great American author and science fiction writer Madeline L'Engle once said, "I will have nothing to do with a God who cares only occasionally. I need a God who is with us always, everywhere, in the deepest depths, as well in the highest heights." Yes, Jesus was the doctor that became the patient. He was the Savior who was willing to suffer. And why did he do it? Why did Jesus humble himself like that? Why did the author of all creation enter into our world just to suffer? The answer is simple. The doctor became the patient so that other patients would learn to trust the doctor. You see, it wasn't until Dr. Cain performed surgery on himself that other patients even considered local anesthesia as a viable option. They needed to see him risk his life before they were willing to risk their own. The doctor became the patient so that other patients would learn to trust the doctor. So the prophet Isaiah once wrote, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed." Yes, Jesus, he allowed himself to be wounded so that wounded people like us might turn to him for hope. Jesus, he allowed himself to suffer so that when we suffer, we would place our trust in him. Jesus, he knew what it meant to be broken so that when we find that brokenness in our life, we would find our new life in his. Jesus, he lived our life. He died our death. He rose for our sake so that we would learn what it means to live a resurrected life. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us always, everywhere, in the deepest of depths and in the highest of heights. And he understands. Whatever it is you're experiencing, Jesus understands. I remember someone telling me once that the most hopeful words he knows in the Christian faith are found in the Apostles' Creed. I said, "Oh yeah? Well, tell me, which part of the creed do you like the best?" He said, "Well, my favorite part of the creed is the part of the creed where we talk about Jesus. And we say he was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, and there he descended into hell." I said, "Really? That's the part of the creed you like the best, the part where we talk about hell?" You know, we don't actually say that part in the Methodist tradition. It makes people very uncomfortable. He said, "Well, I like it. Now, I find those words to be incredibly reassuring." He said, "I've been through hell in my life, and it's good to know that Jesus has been there before. And I'm sure I'm going to go through hell in the future, and I know that he will be with me there as well." And to say that Jesus descended in the hell, well, it means that he is with me even now, no matter what I face. It means he understands. Yes, the doctor became the patient so that we, the patients, would learn to trust the doctor. So have faith today. No matter what hell it is you're living through right now, place your trust in him. Jesus, he was willing to risk his life so that you might be willing to risk yours. If you need healing, if you need wholeness, if you find that you are broken today, place your trust in the great physician. Because by his wounds, we are healed. Thanks be to God. And amen.